Welcome to the Inspired Intentions Podcast with Skyterra Wellness. If you've been too busy and not taking care of yourself, it's time to reset habits and plunge into your new normal. I'm your host, Jeff Ford, and I'm joined today with my co-host, the bearded dragon, Alan Broyhill. What's up, Alan?
You really wanted to say that.
I know. I was just so ready to introduce you today.
I'm scruffy. I get it. I need to shave. Yeah.
Bearded dragon might be a little too far, right?
A little too far. Yeah, I'll work on that, though.
Well, Alan's here with us, and we also have my magical unicorn in the booth, Lindsay Ford, Director of Nutrition for Skyterra Wellness.
Hello.
What's up, Lindsay? How you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. I'm feeling pretty magical.
Yeah, good. You are a magical person.
Thanks for being here again.
Yeah, no problem.
We appreciate having you on air whenever we can. And Alan is going to kick off our question and answer.
Yeah, we brought Lindsay on today to start our episode off with our question and answer portion of our show. And me and Lindsay were talking, a couple of days ago, right?
Yeah.
And this was a question that you've been getting a lot lately, and it's all about caffeine. So the question today is, what are the benefits/risks of caffeine? So we tend to tell our guests to cut it off around what, Jeff? Like 2 p.m.?
2 p.m.
Somewhere around there?
On the dot.
Yeah, we actually have someone standing
by the coffee
machines. You
know what? Shame on you
machines.
If it's 2:15.
Yeah, you get scolded. Totally kidding. Anyways, Lindsay, benefits, risks, caffeine. What are we looking at?
Yeah, so I'll first start off. I'm probably slightly biased because caffeine in the form of coffee is one of my pleasures. So I see lots of benefits, but there are some risks. I'll go into the risks first, if that sounds good to you guys.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, go
cool.
for it.
I'd say one thing is, you know, you mentioned the cutoff at 2 o'clock because coffee or tea, if there's caffeine present, or let's take even sodas, not as much caffeine, but any beverages that have caffeine, it is a stimulant.
Okay.
So you are looking at potentially disrupting sleep, especially if it's not completely metabolized and out of the body. So if it is still present, then it can really get in the way of someone's sleep, which that's not great. We don't want that. Another potential, I would say, cautionary thing with caffeine in general is, what is caffeine in? And if we think, I'm going to just use coffee, but a lot of the beverages that are out there, what else do we put in our coffee?
Oh, yeah. Creamers.
Yeah.
Sugar.
Not so. I would say it's more of like the added sugar and all these other things that we add to it. Alan.
I know. You should smell this cup of coffee right now. It smells like a thing of French vanilla.
Oh, my gosh. No,
so
I'm
he's
poking.
A creamer guy.
I'm poking on Alan.
Okay.
Yeah, we went to
sure.
Starbucks the
I
other
knew
day.
That. I knew he liked lattes, but.
Yeah, and this dude is like, I want a white chocolate mocha. Oh. And I'm like, you get it, man.
Of course.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'd say in general, just what we add to our caffeinated beverages sometimes can, you know, be a little extra just to be aware of.
I've been exposed.
You've been exposed
often on the podcast.
The cinnamon roll coffee drinks with whipped cream.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And a dash of cinnamon.
Hey. So the risks, to be clear, are it's going to disrupt your sleep. And also the things we add to caffeinated beverages, not always the best.
Those are two main things that come to mind.
Okay.
I mean, we could probably pull in other things. It can be an appetite suppressant. So for some, they go all morning, they don't eat, and they just rely on coffee.
Mm.
That's not great.
Yeah.
Which
leads to maybe unhealthy eating patterns.
Yeah. And then you could pull in it's kind of acidic. So you get some that are really dependent on coffee. I mean, could probably kind of get like your whole stomach acid, everything just.
So are you saying like the pH, the balance?
Yeah.
It's kind of out of whack.
Yep.
Okay.
And then the other thing would be, some are very caffeine sensitive. For our viewers, some of you probably know you're caffeine sensitive, where you get pretty jittery.
Hey, Lindsay, they're listeners, not viewers.
Oh, yeah, that's
see
right.
Us.
They can't see
even
us.
Even though you look great.
I
as a magical
see
unicorn.
You. That's why I'm thinking viewers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, listeners.
You're good. Okay. So yeah, that expands on some of the risks, you know, just unregular eating patterns that might help someone move forward. What about the benefits?
So we could go back to, it is a stimulant. So in the morning, it can enhance focus. I think there's a lot of attention on this right now, is it being able to help us focus, especially very quickly and pretty rapidly. So if you have a lot of tasks you want to complete, especially if you're in front of the computer, I think sometimes that can probably help. Or if you want to stay focused in a meeting and feel sharp, I mean, there's probably some benefits there. There are also some antioxidant properties that can be found in the coffee bean just itself.
Ooh.
So that's cool.
Love that word, antioxidants.
It's really powerful. It's very fancy for saying it just.
Yeah. What do you mean by that?
So we build up toxins in our body, and so they help neutralize it or fight it off.
Ooh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So antioxidants, focus, concentration, being at your best. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Those are two big ones.
I like it.
There's probably more research on that, which is why we're probably going to have a complete separate episode just on caffeine.
Ooh. Yeah, I think that would be really cool.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a little tease for our viewers.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we could go in more in depth. For sure.
Yeah. Some more of the science behind it.
Well,
cool. I think that's super clear. I mean, some things that guests or listeners, viewers probably already knew, but you know, there's a lot of science back there that a lot of guests and listeners and viewers probably didn't know.
Yeah. Thanks so much for being on today and sharing that breakdown, Lindsay.
Yeah.
I know it's going to help a lot of our listeners for sure.
No problem.
What else we got today, Jeff? So today we're going to be moving back into our Healthy Aging series, and we're going to be discussing all about mobility with none other than Dr. Lee.
Dr. Lee.
Yeah, so this is going to be our second episode with Dr. Lee. We're really excited to explore more of the studies behind mobility and aging and really share some tips and tricks so that you can age gracefully.
And then Jeff, at the end of the show, because I got to shout him out, has a whole nother 5-minute focus all about motivation, number 2. In a series of, we're doing 8, right?
We're doing 8 5-minute focuses on motivation. Because it's something I hear folks want more of.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. So, well, thanks, Lindsay. We hope you guys enjoy the rest of the show.
So we have none other than Dr. Lee back in the Inspired Intentions
Dr.
podcast
Lee.
Booth.
What's
up, Dr. Lee?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me back again. I'm going to clarify. We have a running joke with a Dr. Lee. If you're at SkyTerra, just say, "Hey, Lee, how are you doing? Good morning." Don't call me Dr. Lee.
Don't call him Dr. Lee. Call him Dr. Patillo.
Well, before we dive into this episode, just thanks, Lee, for your ability to appreciate this inside joke.
I love it, actually.
And,
it's funny.
It definitely keeps things light here before we dive in. So just to get our listeners up to speed, we are now in part 2 of a 3-part series. And this is on strength, mobility, and pain. So today we're talking about mobility. If you missed the first episode, go back and listen to our sentiments around strength training and the significance that it can make in your life. Today, what we're going to focus on is the mobility aspect of things and why figuring out how to actively improve your range of motion on a regular basis is paramount to healthy living. And this will really lead us into when we do strength and when we do mobility, this is what's going to reduce pain.
Yep. Healthy living, healthy aging.
Yeah. Yeah. And so definitely geared more towards older adults, folks getting back into these types of activities. Lee, let's kick it off with just kind of how you look at mobility and kind of a quick definition from you.
Yeah.
Like what is mobility?
Again, we'll give a good, just kind of simple definition. Mobility is really just the ability to move your body through basically the degrees of freedom or movement that you have, the potential you have to move. Another really general good definition is just the ability to move or bend freely and easily, which is probably the definition I would say. Let's go with that one.
A little more simple. Freely and easily.
And we could even add on, hopefully, pain-free.
Ooh.
Yeah.
He's foreshadowing.
Alan, do you like to move freely and easily? Is that something you appreciate?
Every day of my life,
yeah.
How about you, Jeff? What's your definition of mobility? And I got a follow-up question. Go for it.
Yeah. Lee stole my word, freedom.
Mm.
I believe, though, to take this in a different direction, when we practice mobility, when we're doing a mobility practice, it's anything we do to improve our body's ability to move.
Mm-hmm.
And so mobility is essentially movement in a way.
Yeah.
When you really think about it.
Yeah. How do we practice that at SkyTerra? Is that something we
do it all the time here. So we have a class called Connect. We do that every single day, which is not only improving mobility, but it's also mindfulness and slowing down and breathing. We have a daily mobility class right after the first fitness classes. And then at the end of the day, every day now, we offer a different type of mobility training. So whether it's practicing hip mobility stretches and techniques or shoulder mobility, knees, foot and ankle, lower back, that's very much integrated into what we do at SkyTerra.
Yeah. Very, very important for living.
Yeah.
It's a big takeaway.
Crucial.
Yeah.
So Lee, we know what strength, we know what mobility is now. What's the evidence behind incorporating this into our routines?
Very, very good kind of segue in. Let me say too, last week we looked at, again, strength training. You guys tuned into that. The research we're going to look at today and what we're going to really follow along with, we're looking at, again, systematic review and meta-analysis. So higher level research, we're looking at a study that's looking actually at multiple studies that have similar questions, similar data points, and looking for really similar answers. We're going to look at strength training versus stretching for improving range of motion, a systematic review and meta-analysis. You can literally type this into Google, pull it up on PubMed, any of these places if you want to follow along. Kind of going back to Jeff's question, just generally what we know about mobility, it's definitely something we need to incorporate. For stretching, there's different schemes and dosages we can use. I would say, if you're going to practice stretching and mobility, this is really something you can do every single day. And I would say you can mix up active movements, static holds where you're actually like holding a position and stretching something. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of PT literature and research says really anywhere from 30 to 90 seconds of static holds shows muscle lengthening and things like that.
So what you're saying in general, any type of dynamic mobility, static stretching, soft tissue therapy, these are things we want to incorporate on a daily basis.
Yeah, I would say, and we'll get into it in the study and the research, but like really what's great about mobility, it's, as you can kind of pick up on what we're talking about, it's very encompassing of a lot of different movements and things. It's really kind of a combination of everything.
Yeah.
And it's really important. You know, kind of looking back, we talked about strength training last week. If you're not very mobile and you can't move with freedom and move easily, strength training is hard to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So even being able to execute strength training, you've got to have mobility.
Yeah.
It's intimidating for a lot of people.
Yeah. Like if you don't have it, picking up weights and doing some of the things we spoke into last episode is scary.
Yeah. 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 I think even on that, we'll kind of segue back. We talked about a couple of strength measures people can participate or do with themselves, which is like a 30-second sit to stand. You can Google this, look it up. But what you find sometimes is people don't actually have the range of motion and mobility to even sit down to a chair low enough for the standard of that test.
Wow.
So again, you know, if you don't have the mobility, that in a lot of cases is probably where you should look at starting, I would say.
It sounds like you're saying it limits your ability to execute on the strength training or to get the most out of it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So tell us more about this study. Like obviously this looked at a bunch of different studies, pulled it together to give us some evidence behind why mobility could be as important as strength training. What are some of the details behind it?
Yeah, I'll touch base. This is actually looking at, it's a meta-analysis, but we're actually using randomized controlled trials. So again, pretty higher level study. That means there's basically in a control group, an experiment group. We're looking at change between those groups, looking at strength training versus stretching. The big things we know from this study and that what this highlights kind of in the introduction is what's interesting. When you have decreased range of motion or impaired mobility, there's actually a link to muscle weakness. So again, kind of connecting the dots from last week. And again, kind of that like chicken or the egg situation. Does weakness cause lack of mobility? Does lack of mobility
cause weakness?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Again, do we know 100%? I would say probably not. But again, if you start with one of them, you're going to influence the other. This research, we're looking at really measurements. They used goniometry, big fancy word, If you see me in PT at SkyTerra, I use goniometry. It's an objective way to measure joint range of motion.
It's like a really cool ruler.
It's a very, very cool ruler. It's a very big, cool ruler.
It's like that ruler that you maybe used in high school that you didn't understand how to use. Right. And I see him putting it on people all the time, and they're like, hey, what are you doing?
Right, yeah.
He's over here just using my, his hands
what's
in the air.
Word? How do you say it?
Goniometer.
Yeah.
Goniometer.
Yeah, if you want to sound cool, tell that to your friends. I learned about goniometry today. Yeah. So
so in this study, how did they look at those different angles?
They looked at hip, knee, shoulder, and kind of a point on why goniometry is important. It's very objective. And like one thing I'll tell you, if someone's just like watching you do mobility or range of motion, yeah. we're not, you know, it's not. There's not actual data with that. That's not a bad thing to eyeball, but
it's a starting point.
It's a good start.
That's what I say about our mobility screen that we do when guests check in is yeah. that this gives us a place to start where you can uncover the very serious mobility
for
issues
sure.
very quickly.
For sure.
Like if someone can't keep their leg straight
yeah.
and raise it like past their opposite knee,
yeah.
then we obviously know that we need to work on hip mobility and strengthening
Correct.
In that case.
Yeah.
So everything is information. And at the same time, this sounds like it's a bit more specific.
Yeah, and that's a great point about like a screen. Hey, it's quick, it's dirty. It doesn't need to
not
be
too dirty.
It
right?
is right, not too dirty. It doesn't need to be that specific. In PT, if we're looking for little changes, the goniometry is a good thing. But really, in this study, what's important about it, we're gonna see if there's really statistical change or not. And kind of jumping in and looking at it, when they looked at hip, knee, shoulder range of motion. In groups that did strength training versus stretching, between 11 different studies, the overall takeaway was basically that whether participants did the strength training alone or the stretching protocol alone, they still showed significant improvements in range of motion. And that, you know, you kind of look at that like, well,
what do I do?
Yeah, well, what do I do? Which one's better? And the point of that is, one isn't necessarily better than the other. That really tells you, hey, both are good. And if you're kind of like, I've never done either of these, maybe start with the stretching mobility. And the stretching they did wasn't just static stretching. They actually talk a lot about...
They did fascial work, like soft tissue stuff?
Not as much. They did more active range of motion.
Okay.
They,
just like dynamic, like arm swings,
exactly.
leg swings, things
dynamic,
like that.
PNF stretching, which is a fancy term for basically contract, relax. Exactly. We
finished each other's
sentences. That was cute, guys. Yeah. That was super cute.
Hey, Jeff said earlier, maybe in the episode before, sometimes we speak the same language. So that absolutely holds up as being true.
Hello, Inspired Intentions listeners. It's Rachel Colasino back with a very exciting announcement. It is happening. We just announced the dates of our annual Alumni Week, and it will be May 1st through May 8th. Our team is cooking up some new and really exciting events. No matter what, it's going to be a very special week. Call or book online, and you must have stayed at least once prior to attending. We cannot wait to see you there. Now back to the show.
So what you're saying is it wasn't even like the type of stretching that mattered. What mattered is like that we were doing different kinds of it, because these were a bunch of different studies showing that all of it was beneficial.
Yeah, exactly. And in this study, again, there's limited research, and they kind of say we need to go back and get more specific parameters and dosage on exactly what we did
for the stretching and the strength
for both. Yeah, some of the studies didn't well define what their exact strength training was. One thing that's interesting, there were two studies where neither group improved, but and again, so
what did they do?
Well, again, it's good where there's that consistency that neither group showed. Both groups were exactly the same. But what's funny, they tag in there. There may have been some basically lack of compliance with the stretching or the strength training. And my point with that is kind of like, hey, you know, you can think about doing it or like kind of do it, but you really do need to actually participate. And
you can't think yourself into getting stronger.
Right.
You can't think yourself into greater range of motion.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's strength manifestation is not
strength,
a thing.
Yeah. Strength. That's the word.
There we go. Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. So, I believe the didn't this study show a bit more on the strength side? What were some of the strength improvements from this particular study that you pulled out?
Yeah. Again, looking back, kind of where they talked about it in the intro, this big association with muscle weakness and decreased range of motion exists. So the whole idea with that is, when you're doing strength training, a lot of times we have range of motion and mobility deficits because we have muscle weakness, and that muscle becomes tight, tendon becomes tight, and things get really restricted. So if you're getting at that root cause of muscle weakness, what we see in strength training is that it basically improves the length of muscle tissue. And on top of that, they even looking at, especially at the hamstring, eccentrics, concentrics. Again, these are fancy words, but we're talking about lengthening, shortening of muscle tissue.
Eccentric shortening.
Exactly. And that's kind of the big thing with, and actually another thing they point on is you want to perform strength training through full range of motion, which totally makes sense. If you're trying to get good mobility, you know, if you're doing shortened squats, or, you know, and you're, let's say you're healthy, you're pain free, and you're just shorting it because you're just shorting it, you're not going to get as much.
Such an important point. It almost brings us back to our earlier time together today, where we were talking about if the mobility is lacking, it doesn't allow you to move through that full range of motion, which leads to the maximum benefits. And what I often say to help people with this is it's not how much you move, it's sometimes how you move that matters more. And when you're practicing fitness, strength training, mobility, if you're just going for reps and speed, you tend to not get the biggest benefits from what we're talking about today.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And on top of that, we talked in a previous episode, it's, you know, more is not always better. And exactly what Jeff is saying, you want high quality
range of motion.
High quality range of
motion. And if you don't have that range of motion right now, just slowly work towards it.
Yeah, and that's another thing with this too is we're not talking about people doing, you know, every single day strengthening and stretching, kind of like we talked about before, you know, in our previous discussion. Strength training, if you can get it in 2 or 3 times a week, very important. Really, mobility you can do every single day, but in a lot of these studies, people, it was varied in how often they were doing it, but again, you saw results. So if you're not doing anything, the point of that is maybe start with 3 days a week, even if it's just plainly mobility and stretching, and go from there. I think a point Jeff made earlier about, you know, being effective or efficient, one thing with this is we look at, hey, they're both exactly the same. If you're crunched for time, I look at this study as strengthening and stretching for mobility were just as equally good.
Yep.
So if you're like, I only have time to do, let's say, 3 days a week, maybe just focus on, again, what Jeff said, quality is the key. Quality strength training where you are doing full range of motion. And what we know is you're going to get a lot of the same benefit as just doing the mobility. But again,
yeah,
research doesn't always take into account. Everyone is different. Also, if you just prefer like
stretching versus strength, then probably start with stretching. So like what I was hearing is start with your preference, because when you do something that you enjoy, especially as you're building a new habit, that can sometimes be crucial. Anything else to add around the meta-analysis that we've brought to the table today? I think overall it sounds like a combination of both is best.
Definitely a combination, yeah. One thing that was interesting that they kind of discussed in this research with talking about, okay, why does strengthening improve range of motion? And they actually start to talk about how a lot of strengthening, you actually get chemicals, endorphins released that modulate pain.
Sweet.
Which is awesome. Yeah, yeah. Everyone likes to hear pain relief. Right. You don't always necessarily get that in stretching. I mean, you definitely can, but they kind of make a really good point where some people may be limited from mobility, not even from a mechanical or joint restriction or muscle restriction standpoint. They may be limited from a pain standpoint. And one thing we know is that if we can eliminate pain, and actually, and we'll talk more about it in our next episode, which is a good segue in, but one thing we know, one of the best interventions for pain is actually loaded exercise appropriately. You see a lot of, again, beta endorphin, lactate, some of those things that make you sore. They're also the things that
decrease pain,
which is interesting. And I, you know, diving in it beyond that is probably, I don't have a PhD in that by any means, but
well, we do a next level podcast series and bring that to the table for sure. Well, that's a nice kind of breakdown with like just how strength does influence pain at the same time as range of motion.
Yeah. And when, when you say loaded exercise, make sure you're clear on that. What does that mean for everybody?
Great point, Alan. Like we talked about last week, loaded exercise is going to be resisted training. Now, that can be body weight. Again, it depends on the person.
Where they're coming from.
Where exactly they're coming from.
Sure.
It needs to be challenging, somewhat strenuous. We're talking, again, we talked about it in our last episode, lower reps, faster movement, dumbbells, light resisted weights, free weights.
Resistance bands.
Resistance bands work, machines work, really any of that stuff.
But one thing, you know, not to take us too far back is like, what are the warning signs that we're not doing what we need to be doing? Like, how do I know I'm lacking mobility? And then definitely listeners will tell you, here's how to improve it. So Lee, could you maybe take that and break down, like, when we're lacking mobility, why is that a problem?
Yeah, I think it goes back to, again, if you don't have good mobility, you're going to be limited in functional things. And by that, what I mean, the ability to step up on a high step, or the ability to get to a low surface, such as toilet, a chair, any of those things, even reaching overhead. You know, if you're limited in the degree you can raise your arm overhead, as simple as this sounds, reaching for that can of soup or item out of the shelf, the top shelf, it becomes really hard, and it makes everyday living really challenging. And kind of going back to the original definition of mobility, which was very simple, you know, if you're finding, hey, when I do normal things, I'm not moving freely and easily, I think that's really your first sign. Oh, wait, something is off here.
Yeah.
And kind of like, you know, this, we're really focusing this with looking at, we all want to age healthy. Bad news is, we know not only as we get older, you're going to lose muscle tissue, bone density, all those things change. On top of that, there's also loss of range of motion linked to aging. But again, the really good news with all this stuff is there is absolutely tons of stuff you can start doing early on. And again, if you start early and have good range of motion mobility, it really makes it harder to lose as we age, and it kind of naturally diminishes.
Yeah, great point. Not dissimilar from how we want to approach strength training. What other tangible changes occur? So when we lose range of motion, like, what types of things do we see happening in the body?
Great point. Great question. Again, looking at some of these physiological changes, we've talked about knee arthritis some. Sometimes we have these arthritic changes, but there's also muscle changes that are causing the pain or causing the issue. And a lot of times what happens in aging, we know tendons become less contractile, they don't stretch as easily. All these things happen, and a lot of times the underlying reason is, if that muscle tissue becomes weak, that absolutely changes how your tendons function. And on top of that, looking at even as simple as this sounds for knee arthritis, your knee is a synovial joint, which means, fancy word, which means it's...
I was about to ask.
Yeah. So basically it means it's a joint that is fluid filled. You have this... The human body is just amazing. We literally have this natural lubrication system.
Alan, did you see his eyes light up?
It did.
He said human body.
His hands started moving a lot.
Oh, yeah. Getting into... I get excited talking about the body because... But
keep
going. Again, this is what gets me excited. It's hey, how do we improve not only range of motion, but this lubrication system, synovial fluid, how do we impact that? And the simple answer is that when you move your knee joint, you actually produce more of this fluid. And again, you don't necessarily have to like stretch the knee, but that active range of motion, that active movement, whether it's resisted or not, you're making positive changes within the joint without even really realizing it, which is cool.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it's like actively, you know, doing movements that require knee flexion improves
exactly
this synovial fluid and that lubrication that you're speaking into.
Exactly. And by flexion, we just mean literally bending the knee.
Nice. Yeah. Well, this is pretty incredible stuff. I think I want to bring us back to Alan's question of like, okay, well, how do we do this? This sounds great. Sounds like it's going to bring us a lot of benefits, especially for an older population, folks wanting to really not be limited in their day. Lee, I obviously, you know, have a background in how to look at a mobility routine, but what would be some forms of mobility that you would suggest? And we can kind of go off of that and break this down pretty simply so listeners can execute.
Yeah, I think kind of looking at a combination of research, we know, again, from this, stretching is good, static stretching, active range of motion, even strength training. There's more literature and research coming out that static stretching performed after active movement, resistance training, what you see is there's actually this thought, you fatigue muscle tissue out, it's more tired, it's more adaptable. When you do stretch it after you've done something like that, it actually will stretch more and give you like a more of a physiological change. Also from the sport standpoint, if you look at, again, research, and you can see this in literally in practice all the time, the old school way used to be, all right, sporting event, let's statically stretch before. And the research has actually shown you actually want to do more of your active movement, your loading, even before, let's say, like a competition. And then when you finish with the static long hold stretching at the end, that is actually more beneficial than just doing the static stretching alone. So really the combination, and I would say like in a, what's the ideal scenario, which isn't always attainable, but striving for that is
important.
Depending on someone's schedule. And, you know, I'll have people, they say, well, it feels better to stretch before. And again, this is where in research, everyone is different. Every human body is completely different. If that feels better for you, by all means, do that first. I think the ideal scenario would be if you are having some pain or issues, maybe do some like soft tissue work like we do here at SkyTerra. Maybe get the muscle system kind of warm up.
Some quick stuff. Like what you're saying is if you're going for greater change and really trying to improve range of motion, maybe putting it after moving your body is more effective, and maybe in the evening time might be better after a lot of movement in the day.
Yeah, it for sure. Exactly. And, you know, a lot of times in the morning when we're talking about people dealing with arthritis and stiffness. Now, if you're really stiff in the morning and you just try to stretch everything, my body will say, hey, Lee, what the heck are you doing, man? This does not feel good. So a lot of times just the light active movement to start with and kind of get you warmed up, get the blood flow going. That's also what helps modulate pain. And that's why a lot of times you see more so, hey, let's get people a little light exercise, resisted training, just because you're getting more blood flow than just with static stretching a lot of time. But really the combination of all of those things, you're really covering all of your bases. So kind of active strength training, and then I would say follow up with your static stretching.
With your mobility routine.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like it. And maybe just to add, I think that's, you know, any order, I haven't come across any conclusive reasoning behind like before or after. The point is to do it, is I think what we're saying.
Yeah. I think that's very valid.
Right. And from my perspective on like setting up a mobility routine, like to keep it simple for home, is a combination of soft tissue and stretching. So soft tissue is using a foam roller. It's using a therapy ball. A tiger tail, or even there's fancy stuff on the market now called like a Theragun. All of these products, all of these types of equipment, when you have them at home, can make it a little bit easier to work on what's called fascia. Fascia is connective tissue, and sometimes we're not going to get the benefit of stretching if that fascia is all stiff and tightened up. And that's where kind of putting both of these practices into a mobility routine, I find it can be very, very effective for folks.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And one thing that's interesting, we now know from research literature, fascia is actually contractile. So even though it's more thought of as like a connective tissue that surrounds layer or surrounds the muscle, it actually has the ability to contract just like muscle tissue does.
That is interesting.
Yeah. And kind of the point of that is like Jeff said, if you're doing a combination of all of those things, you're really covering everything. Everything.
Yeah, that's
very
awesome.
Cool. Nice. So general suggestion, we're thinking daily, maybe start with 2 to 3 times a week. On SkyTerra at home, we have a ton of mobility routines, and that's something our executive producer is actively working on putting more up just because we find these are effective. So when you know of like quick, simple routines you can do that are a combination of these things, you can just literally go to our website and put on hip mobility and you can spend 15 minutes doing it with yours truly.
That's a great resource. That's pretty cool. I think that should definitely be used.
Or even like when Jeff was talking about earlier, some of the other things we do, like our Connect class, we have full like 30-minute Connect classes on there. Those are essentially going through breath work, but also a lot of mobility.
Yeah.
And then breaking down just different mobility movements, all that stuff is on there.
Yeah. Sure. One thing we also have is the mobility library. So Lee was talking a lot about active movement as a priority prior to physical activity. We do that before all our fitness classes where it's like those arm swings, leg swings, stuff that gets the body moving. We've got a full length library of mobility activities that you could plug in that are definitely going to lead to these improvements in range of motion as well.
Yep. And that is again on skyterraathome.com.
Yeah. So Lee, I think we've covered a lot. Wait, sorry. Dr. Lee.
Dr. Patillo.
There it is.
We said we were sticking with last name here.
Yeah. I think this is really great to always bring the evidence in here and then to be flexible with it is what I've really been gathering from our conversation and just really get started where you can. What would you like our listeners to remember?
I think you really just, I mean, you hit the nail on the head where I think one great thing about SkyTerra, our big thing is we're going to meet you where you are. And for some people, you know, maybe you don't like doing the strengthening part for mobility, and that's totally fine. Start with the mobility side. Start with that active movement. And a lot of times what's really cool with those active movements, and when you have, let's say, a good personal trainer, a good physical therapist, they can progress those movements to become eventually resisted strength training movements. And I think the big thing is like when you just, even when you start with something as simple as mobility every single day, you're really building that foundation and setting yourself up where you're going to build momentum and get into doing more things that are going to really unlock your potential to bring up the PT unlock your potential thing. But you know, you're really influencing your body in the right direction. I think the big thing, big takeaway is shoot for mobility. Really that, again, that word practice, it is practice. Shoot for that if you can. 6-7 days a week, and then looking at like our talk we did last time about strength training, and on top of that to reiterate the importance of it, even from a mobility standpoint, try to progress to where you do mix that in 2-3 times a week, and you're really you're crushing it.
You're gonna unlock your full potential.
You're gonna unlock your full
potential.
See
how he brought it all the way all back around again. There again.
gotta connect the dots.
Well, that's great advice, Lee. Really appreciate kind of the time you spent speaking into our listeners once again this week to make sure they prioritize these things that will not only improve their life, but can save their life. Alan, thanks for being on air again, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, this has been number two. Number one was last week. We have another episode coming for you guys with Lee next week. And so stay tuned.
Hey, guys. This is Jeff with your 5-Minute Focus. Let's get your focus right for the rest of the week. Today, we are back talking about the second reason that will cause anyone to lack motivation. The good news about this problem is that you can fix it as long as you acknowledge that your thoughts or how you think about your mistakes is getting in the way. Have you ever heard of hypochondria or someone who's referred to as a hypochondriac? This is a mental health disorder that occurs when someone is unconvinced that their negative medical tests are correct. Then they repeatedly worry that they have something undiagnosed and that no one will be able to find it and cure them. It's also referred to as health anxiety. Believe it or not, hypochondria accounts for about 5% of outpatient medical care annually. More than 200,000 people are diagnosed with health anxiety each year. I believe this parallels with what I'd like to call today motivation anxiety. Yes, our first made-up mental health condition on the 5-Minute Focus. Now, let me be clear. I am by no means attempting to minimize hypochondria or mental health and make a joke of it. What I believe is that there is a strong comparison that highlights that our thoughts are powerful and they can get in the way of our health, just like our thoughts can get in the way of our motivation. The problem is that we make lack of motivation part of our identity. Now, if you listen to the Triangle of Change podcast series from earlier this year, you'll remember that I asked you to write down your identity, the type of person you want to be. One of the questions was, how do you want to see yourself? Here's the reality. If you always see yourself as the type of person who's unmotivated, you'll always be that person. According to Dean Bokhari, the author who inspired me to lead this series, he says that what gets in the way of our motivation is when we constantly identify with our mistakes. I'm so stupid. I'm so lazy. I'm so, you fill in the blank. This kind of self-talk affirms that you and your mistakes are the same. This kind of self-talk is negative reinforcement, and this kind of self-talk creates a false identity. So here's the solution. One, when you make a mistake, as we all do from time to time, change your self-talk to, I just did something stupid, or I just didn't get going today. This clearly separates you, your identity, from the mistake. Second, it all starts with deciding that you'll no longer think of yourself as an unmotivated person. For the person dealing with health anxiety, they have to decide to see themselves as a healthy person. For the person dealing with motivation anxiety, they have to decide to see themselves as a motivated person. Life is so much better when you separate yourself from your mistakes because it improves your self-worth and self-compassion. By deciding to be a motivated person, you'll naturally increase your confidence to take action and experience levels of motivation that you maybe haven't had in years. What I want you to do next is to think about all the mistakes you've made in the past week and forgive yourself. Separate these mistakes from your identity. And after that, ask yourself, am I part of the problem or the solution when it comes to my own level of motivation? Or have I created a false identity as an unmotivated person? And remember this, every single person will lose motivation from time to time. That's a normal experience. Don't make the mistake and think that these brief moments are who you are. I want to thank you for listening to the Inspired Intentions podcast. We are so grateful to have had the opportunity to bring you the second episode in our new format. If you've been enjoying this format, we'd love to hear from you. We're always collecting listener questions, and I'd even personally love to do a 5-minute focus series from a guest recommendation. That's my challenge for you today. The Inspired Intentions podcast is a production of SkyTerra Wellness Retreat. Special thanks to our executive producer, Alan Broyhill. Send us your questions and comments to inspiredintentions@skyterrawellness.com. You can subscribe on iTunes and everywhere podcasts can be found. If someone you know might benefit from this podcast, please share Inspired Intentions with them and give us a 5-star rating. We truly just want to make a difference in more people's lives. Join us next week as we cut through the unrealistic noise on diets and fitness and show you how healthy living fits seamlessly into your already busy life. Thanks for listening.